share a few things with you. We'll go into the message. I like to come to church early because I like to meet folks, and I always look for illustrations to use while I'm preaching. And so someone I met and some of their friends thought it would be really good. They want to make sure I knew his name. But I've decided not to do that. I've decided to say, brother, I tell you what, you just give a little extra missions in November, Barney, and I won't tell anybody about our situation, all right? So if y'all want to know what happened, you have to come and see me after service. Speaking of missions money, we resigned the church, Onslaught Baptist Church, that I pastored for almost 10 years to the U.S. military. God bless. We see multiple souls come to know Christ as our Savior. Let me encourage you, invite your friends for Veterans Day service. I had the privilege of preaching in Kingsport Veterans Day, and I'm looking forward to that message and preaching, getting to know folks. I would wear my uniform, but I'm afraid that was about 7 inches ago, preacher. But back in those days, I think my wife would like to see those days again, but I haven't met a diet that could do it yet. But let me encourage you. I've noticed, and every church is different, but with veterans in the military, they're not strange, they're not weird. I'm just saying they're different. And I'm one of those. I'm a veteran. And I've had the privilege of leading multiple active duty and veterans to the Lord. But 99% of those I led to the Lord was in their living room, not at the altar. Now, they can get saved anywhere. But even the ones that got saved at the altar, they came because somebody invited them. Not the pastor, not a preacher, not a staff member, but that happens. But because someone they knew and had a relationship with, that they seen day in and day out at work or in their community, they came because a friend invited them. They heard the gospel and they trusted Christ as their Savior. And so let me encourage you. You pray for your preacher. You pray for your veterans. Matter of fact, let me encourage you during your prayer time, set aside a little segment for prayer time during altar call. Pray forward during the time of invitation of our church that God will do something in the hearts of my church family, as well as any members, or excuse me, my church friends, as well as any visitors that may be there. And I am just still amazed at the amount of people that I've met in over the last 10 years in Bavaria, Germany, that came to our church that had never been in church in their life. I'll share one quick story. I can also, is there a clock up here that'll help me? Yeah, there is. Good. Amanda came to our church. She has a Episcopalian background, right, sweetheart? Wait, that's right. That's my girlfriend back there. It's my first wife, Michelle. And goodbye and see her after the service. She's a blessing. She came to service several weeks in a row because a friend invited her. Someone in our church met her at the medical clinic waiting to see the doctor. Invited her to church. She says, I've looked everywhere. I can't find a church like I go to. I went to the chapel. It's nothing like what I went to. She says, so I'll come. She came about 5-6 weeks in a row, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, with kids in tow, and her husband was in the Middle East. About week 6 or week 7, she came on a Sunday night and said, preacher, I'd like to talk to you and Miss Michelle after the service. I said, well, sure, I'll be happy to do so. And we did. And we walked into the office. She put her hands on her hip and says, I'm mad. I said, well, Amanda, sit down. Let's talk about it. I thought maybe I did something. Maybe Michelle did something. She's usually the troublemaker, not me. And so we got to talking. Here's what she's mad about. I grew up in church. And I had to go all the way to Bavaria, Germany, to go to a Baptist church, which I've never been to in my life, for someone to tell me and show me from the scripture that I'm going to hell. I never heard that. I thought I was going to heaven because I went to church. I thought I was going to heaven because I was faithful, because my parents had me. Well, at least they said I was baptized as a child. I don't remember. Well, about 30 minutes later, she was already ready. Had the privilege of leading her to Christ. Her daughter got saved the next week, and I baptized both mom and daughter. Her husband was in the Middle East. Today, they're at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, hoping to get transferred to Fort Campbell, I believe is one of their options. But again, because somebody invited. I could share story after story after story with the military where the majority of them got saved either in the living room of their home after a service. In fact, we had folks saved on family game night. We had family game night every 4 to 6 weeks. Bring something salty, something sweet, a board game, and we just let our hair down and had a good time and laughed and had a lot of fun. And we see people saved during those services as well. Thank you. I don't know who that was, but thank you. This is another way we raise missions money at Onslaught Baptist Church. If your phone goes off, it's $50 in missions. It's at your word. I don't go collecting it. I don't go collecting it. But if your phone goes off, and so our MPs and our guys on duty, they put it on vibrate so they don't get themselves in trouble. And then I had a guy in my church who was wanted to test a preacher. I always put mine on vibrate. He called me twice during the service to see if it would ring. I think because his phone went off and he had to put $100 in the month before. So that's another way to raise missions money, preacher. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, I want to give you a quick update, just a couple minutes. I do talk a little fast. It's not because I'm in a hurry, just it is who I am. But I decided to resign my church after 10 years. This is our first furlough in 15 years. I do not recommend it. I do not recommend it. It's good for missionaries to have a break. So ours is a medical furlough. And I resigned the church and presented to them, and right now they have a candidate they'll be voting in, possibly up or down, a new pastor in the next couple of weeks. They have a candidate flying in after they went through the screening process. I believe in a local church, and this is a result of missions, but they are a local body, and we formed a pulpit committee before I left. They've went through the process. We have an interim pastor that's there now, and they'll be voting, Lord willing, a new pastor in the next few weeks. But I begin to have some problems. I'm going to say this. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just asking for to pray for me. I begin to have some problems. I get lost and not know where I'm at. So you help me out tonight. If I look lost, just holler, preach, and I'll kick in. I'll be fine. But so I started carrying a GPS with me because I either stop, pull over, call my wife, or I can just punch home and it'll get me there. And it kind of scared me. I got a little worried. And I went through some neurological tests and tried to find some things out. They ruled out dementia. They ruled out Alzheimer's. It's kind of funny. They ran a lot of tests. I went in for a brain scan, and they did carpal tunnel surgery 2 weeks later. But there's some other I'm serious. It really did happen. But there's some other issues that we just can't figure out. Some doctors say it's stress, and others that say there's another problem. We need to do some more tests. And so you just pray for me. I'm glad to be preaching. I'm glad to be back in East Tennessee. I'm from East Tennessee, maybe for medical reasons, but I'm going to trust God. He's sovereign. He's still on the throne. I'll trust him for it. We'll go through the process. We're living in Kingston because it's close to family, close to 81, and where I have a lot of churches through here, and it's close to the VA center as a veteran. And so I praise the Lord that all the work and tests they'll do, it'll be for free. It won't cost me anything. But here's my prayer request. Pray that they find out what is the problem so we can resolve it. If it's just stress, then we'll I think I can manage that, work it out somehow, some way. Number two is pray that things get expedited. I put in my paperwork to transfer my records about 8 weeks ago. They says it takes 6 or 8 weeks to get here, and 8 weeks later, my records still aren't here, and I still don't have an appointment. And so that process has to happen before I can be seen and go through the screening process. So just pray for that. I appreciate it. If you know someone at the VA has some pools, see me after service. I'd love to become your new best friend. But we're glad to be here tonight. We want to thank you for your years of service. The last time we were here has been over 15 years ago. And Brother Lastly was a pastor at that time, had a chance to fellowship with him. And before the service with my girls as well, my family, and then, of course, preach for you folks. And I remember what he told me. And he said, "Preacher, I want you to preach." And I said, "I want you to get an invitation. Because you can't give an invitation, you ain't worth supporting." Well, I guess I did okay because they've been supporting me for many years. But we're glad to be with this morning, this evening, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to challenge you, encourage you a little bit in a reference of Satan. I'm afraid, and it doesn't matter where you live and where you're at and what age you are, Satan has you on his radar. And I'm afraid today that so many Christians have gotten lazy, spiritually speaking, and they've got a little careless in some things. And so the aspect of the idea tonight is a question, what's on Satan's menu? Now, as far as menus go and eating food, how many of y'all enjoy going to Cracker Barrel once in a while? How many of you don't even need a menu? Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, no matter where you go in the world, if you pull in there, the menu's the same, the food is pretty much the same, and you're going to get the same end result. At least I've experienced that. And I'm wondering how many of us as Christians, how many of us believers, the menu, what Satan looks at, what's on the menu, that he knows by our walk, he knows by our life, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our strengths, and where are we placed at? Are we the special of the day because we've come to a point in our spiritual life that we're weak? I know I enjoy hunting, and in Germany, what they do in Germany when you spend all this money to go hunting, a game warden goes with you, and they point out the weak, the old, and the sick to shoot. The healthy you have to leave alone. You know, there's some similarities there. It looks like Satan tends to get after those that are a little weak. They're a little spiritually sick, and often we don't see it because we see the outer. But you know, right here tonight in this auditorium, even though you are the Wednesday night crowd, you know, the saying is, you know, the people love the church, come to church on Sunday morning. Those who love the preacher come Sunday night. And those who love God come all three on Wednesday too. Amen. But you know what? Just because we love the Lord, just because we go to church, Just because we have a spouse who supports us and prays for us doesn't make us immune to weakness, spiritually speaking. Doesn't make us immune or taken off the radar of Satan. Nothing would make him happier to cause you to fall. No preacher wakes up, no missionary, no evangelist, no godly man or woman wakes up and says, I'm going to fall into sin today. It happens over a period of time. And we need to be on guard. We need to be alert. We need to be aware that no matter how good of a Christian we think we are, we have a weakness. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing and knowing what that weakness is and guarding ourselves and being prepared. Praying for one another, starting with your pastor and your staff, praying for your children, your teenagers, teachers, and leadership, as well as your immediate family, that God would protect them, to put a hedge about them. See, some Christians and some families, I'm afraid, fall into the trap of praying for their children earnestly while they're young that they might know Christ as their Savior. Then they get saved, they follow the Lord and believer's baptism, and then they kind of don't quite pray the same way anymore. Dear friends, I think that's when the battle begins, when the most prayer is needed, is really realizing that once our children trust Christ, once an adult, a person trusts Christ, that's when the battle begins. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to break that down and move along real quickly, but take notice a little bit. Be sober. In other words, be watchful, be discreet, be on guard. Be vigilant means to keep awake or to keep watch. Remember the old military days, you veterans, where we had a fire guard or night guard, where we rotated through the night, that someone was on guard, someone was watching out for the whole group? Adversary. In this particular case, he is Satan. He is the arch enemy. And by the way, your brother is not your enemy. Your sister is not your enemy. Though sometimes you may feel like they are giving me a hard time. That's just Satan working through them. Satan is our enemy. Roaring. Again, on the rampage, looking for something to eat. Walketh about, to tread all around, to walk at large, to be occupied with. Seeking, to plot against. And our King James, it says, to be about, to desire, to endeavor, inquire, or require, to seek for, to seek after by any means. And then to devour, to drink down. Gulp entirely, literally or figuratively, to devour or to swallow up. He has a desire to ruin your life, to ruin the life of your pastor, your church, your leadership, and your immediate family. Make sure that we're on guard. And Brother Cook, are you trying to intimidate us or to make us afraid? No, I want us to be aware, to be alert, and to realize the reality of Satan, who he is. Now, I have no much information about what I'm about to say, but from things I read and things I hear on the news, there's some people that will swallow hook, line, and sinker for some of these crazy reality shows on television today, but they don't take Satan seriously. Some folks even think wrestling is still real. They're really hurting each other. Satan, he has the ability to find that niche, to find that place, to find that weakness, and to time it in such a way we'll never see it coming. Let me ask this morning before I get a little further past my introduction. Rhetorical questions. Have you read your Bible today? Have you spent time in prayer? Now, I'm not talking about opening your Bible and reading through something and getting through and thinking for a moment, man, what did I read? And then look at your clock and say, well, I don't have time, and go on. I mean, setting aside time on purpose to read. Bible college had a teacher, Brother Dan Truax, who was a missionary in the Sahara Desert. And I went over to visit his house one day, and there was a bookshelves along all three corners and hit back behind him on his wall, except for the front wall. And they're all full of spiral notebooks, yay, why, that we would use, that we used to use in high school and years ago. I've been in Europe so long, do they still have the spiral notebooks for kids in school? It was just full of them. I pulled one off, and it said, what God told me this morning. Every single one of them for almost 50 years he kept. He reads his Bible and he jots down what God told him about that passage. And he says, it's so exciting to look back and find out that God tells me different things about the same passage of Scripture day by day, year by year, month by month as the years go on. But he, in other words, he preached and he taught and he encouraged something that he practiced. What kind of person is the devil looking to devour? What does Satan have in his sights? How about it, hunters? How many of you deer hunters got scoped the first time you went out? I'm the only one. I sure did. Satan has us in our sights. He doesn't have to reload. He doesn't have to worry about ammo. He doesn't have to worry about chasing or trailing you. He has us in our sights. We need to be aware. Are you a target for the devil's appetite? Do you match what is on his menu? What is it that he desires? What is it that he desires today? What is it about you that attracts the devil and makes him think, hey, there's a chink in his armor. There's a little place right there where I think I can get into. Notice a couple of things this morning. I believe that something that's on the devil's menu is simply the unbeliever, the lost, or the doubter. Those who have, you say, preacher, what about, you're referring to Christians. I'll get back to that in just a moment. But he has not only the doubter, but even the unbeliever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, it's today Satan has some folks on his radar. And one is not only the unbeliever, the lost, but the doubter. What about the doubting Christian? Well, how can and why could God ever use me? How could God take my life and use me? Well, I believe the Bible still says that we come to know Christ, that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you may not be qualified to do certain things, but you're qualified to be a servant of God if you trusted Him as your Savior, no matter the baggage of the past, no matter what's going on in the past. We had a young man that got saved and was concerned about his lifestyle, his past, and the way he was living, and how could God ever use me? Preacher, I've got marks and things on my body. I've got a horrible mouth. My testimony, everyone knows it. They know I'm a heathen. I am a heathen. How can I ever be a witness to them? And I said, just let them see the change. Just let them see the change. And now it took about 10 weeks for him to get saved. He came to church because somebody invited him. He shook my hand and said, good morning, preacher. I'm only here because I hear your wife's a great cook and all the singles can come to your house and eat lunch after church. And I said, well, God bless you. We're glad you're here. My wife will be thrilled to know another one will be at the table today. 4 weeks later, he came in, said, preacher, I'm not quite sure. I don't think I'm an agnostic, or I'm not an atheist. Maybe I'm an agnostic. I'm not quite sure, but thank you for being so kind. Nick, every Sunday that he was there, every Sunday he wasn't on duty, he was one of those doubters, he was one of those unbelievers, he kept coming back. I'm convinced it's because of Michelle's biscuits. I don't know, but he kept coming back. And one day he walked in the back room of the church, or the back front, back of the auditorium of the church, come around, he didn't shake my hand, he reached around and hugged me and picked me up. He's about 6'3", I'm 5'7" on a good day. And he whispered in my ear and said, preacher, I trusted Jesus last night as my Savior. He said, can we have breakfast tomorrow morning? I said, sure, where? He said, at the DFAC with all of my buddies. I said, amen, all right. Now, Nick had a potty mouth. And we got in there, and he had a reputation of being rough. And we got in there, and we sat down, and we looked around. I said, Nick, where's all your buddies? Oh, preacher, they'll be here surely. So we bowed our head, and we prayed. And I kid you not, it was a Baptist prayer. Good Lord, good meat. I'm a Baptist, so let's eat. It was a short prayer. And it seemed like no sooner I said amen, the full 2 8-foot-long tables were full of MPs on both sides. And Nick just looked at me and just grinned. I said, he goes, I told you they'd be here. And a few minutes into our breakfast, a couple wordy dirds were mentioned across the table. And Nick stood to his feet and said, guys, didn't I tell you that we were having breakfast this morning with the preacher? Why don't you all, would you please watch your mouth? Every chin hit the table. Nick, the fellow who cursed every other word, was telling everybody to watch their language. But you know, Nick's life did change. And that day was a beginning point as I looked at Nick and I said, Nick, was it that hard to say what you just said? He said, no, it really wasn't. I said, now you've got to back it up. Now you have to back it up. You may have been a doubter, but now you're a believer. And all these eyes are going to be on you because you live so worldly. Nick, these are your words. You live so worldly that now the people are going to wonder, what kind of conversion was this? Is it sincere? Is it real? Or is it just what you think is fire insurance? I said, Nick, you got to walk it. You got to live it. But let me encourage you. You will make mistakes. Satan will discourage you. But I'm here for you. And these other men, and I introduced them to some other men in our church, they're here to encourage you, support you, and pray for you. So when you mess up, come see me. Let's talk about it. When you mess up, you're not quite sure, come see me. I love you. I want to help you. And God's going to use you to help reach the military for Christ. And to the best of my knowledge, when Nick left, he went home later that year and went to church with his grandma, came back about 2 weeks later and said, Preacher, I know why now I never got saved as a boy. Here's why. Because I went home, went to church with mom and dad and my grandma. Those churches are dead. There's no gospel. They didn't even have Bibles in the pews. They weren't even any hymnals. He says, I understand why I didn't know the Lord growing up. I said, well, Nick, what are you going to do about it? He says, well, Nick, I want to be discipled. I want to learn. I want to be able to witness to my family when I go back on leave the next time. See, folks, doubters, unbelievers can become known as believers and follow Christ. They may have a rough background. They may be hard. They may be ones that are difficult. But guess what? Those are the ones that are watching and observing your life when things get tough for you, when you have hard times. Make sure they see Christ. Make sure you walk with the Lord. Make sure you are prepared and you have that armor on, as the Bible teaches us, and you have and keep a good testimony. But not only the doubter, but we can also see this evening, as the disobedient. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 says, But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And then Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 8, the Bible says, Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me ask you, dear friend, are you an obedient Christian? Are you a doubter? Do you have a desire to follow the Lord, to walk with Him, to set example those around you that are watching your life? Are you an obedient Christian? Now, I know I grew up in a home where my dad demanded obedience. He demanded respect. He taught us character and integrity. And we did things right, or we went back and we fixed it. And I'm grateful for that. And I come to know the Lord later in life. And I had the privilege of being growing up in a Christian home. But let me ask this morning, no matter what your background is, whether it's being brought up in a Christian home, whether it be getting to church later in years, let me ask, what kind of a Christian are you? Are you obedient? Do you know what the Word of God asks of you? Do we know the gifts that God has given us? Are we using them to the full potential? What is it about our life? Self-evaluation. Are you obedient? Am I obedient in all areas of my walk, in my relationship with Christ? Am I honoring Him in everything that I say and do? Let me encourage you another thing before your devotions the morning, the night before, after you've had your devotions, after you've had your prayer time, after you've had the day on the job at work, in the evening, do you spend some time reflecting on how your day went? Do you ask yourself, was I obedient today? Did I honor the Lord in what I did? As a soldier, the Lord got a hold of my heart back in 1987, sometime in that area. And I promised the Lord I would do my best when I had opportunity. I would do my best to witness to my co-workers, to my colleagues, to those that I met. I would do my best to look for an opportunity. And even today when I go out, I try to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me an opportunity today to be a witness, to be encouragement to someone that I meet today? You might be surprised. You realize that God provides opportunities almost on a daily basis to be a witness? If we just look for them. How many volunteer fans do we have here tonight? Though we're embarrassed. Yeah, we got a few of them out here. They like to wave those. We like to wave those orange flags on the weekend. Win or lose. I'm a volunteer fan. Win or lose. When I was pastoring in Germany, preacher, if the volunteers won, I wore an orange tie. Even if it didn't match. I wore my orange tie. But everyone likes to talk about the volunteers. You go fill up your gas tank on Saturday. They want to talk about the big game. We might not win, but there's an opportunity. Boy, you've already introduced. You've already got something in common. Why not invite them to church? Tell them about the Lord. Especially if they're driving one of those big old SUVs. When they plug it in there to fill it up, it probably take 10 minutes to fill that bad boy up. There's an open window right there. In fact, there's another opportunity that you have a closed audience. Get in the elevator. When the door's closed, they ain't going nowhere. God gives us opportunities, but do we look? Are we obedient? Do we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the needs of others. Help me to see my community, Father, through your eyes. Help me to see the hurting. Help me to see the down and out. Help me to see those who are bitter. Help me to see those who just need a word of encouragement to be lifted up. And dear friends, they're out there, saved or lost. They're out there. Are we obedient Christians? Do we look for the opportunities to be a witness? And by the way, Satan also looks, as I mentioned, not just for the doubters, but he also is after the disobedient Christians. See, there are the ones already that have a problem. In our ministry, again, through the military, through the years, I run across a lot of people that don't go to church. They said, I had a bad experience. I got my feelings hurt. I was done wrong. And the list goes on and on. And I had a rule there on that small military base that if I ran into the same person three times in the same day, the third time they got an invitation to church, and if I could squeeze it in, it was a witness, and I started John 3:16 and jumped over to Romans. That was just my guideline and my rule. And God gave me abundant opportunity to share Christ. And I can remember one day I ran into a gentleman, it was the third time, and he looked at me and kind of looked around and thought, I promise, I'm not stalking you. This is a small base. And you can always tell the new soldiers. They've been there just a short period of time. And I looked at him. I said, you know, there's got to be a reason that God has allowed us to run into each other three times the same day. In fact, it has barely been an hour. And he looked at me and said, are you following me? I said, no. I said, matter of fact, we ran into each other. And we pointed to three things, places. And the last place was coming outside of the post office. I said, here's my mail. I'd been to the post office as well. I invited him to church and shared about the Lord. And he looked at me and said, preacher, I'm saved. He said, if I'm honest, I'm just a little bitter. I'm a little gun shy about going to church. And I never asked them what happened. Never. I said, you know, I really hate to hear that. And let me let you in on a secret. I'm the pastor of the church I'm trying to invite you to. I never tell them I'm the pastor. I always just let them show up and find out. And I said, if I could ask you one favor, just one favor, and I promise I'll never bother you again unless you need me or want to talk, I'll be there for you. You just want me to do one thing and you'll never bother me again? I said, no, I won't. He said, what is that? Give me one chance to take the bad taste out of your mouth at church and come this Sunday and I'll never bother you again. He came that Sunday. They were there for the rest of his rotation. Two of his girls got saved and got baptized during that time. People do get upset and they do get hurt. But sadly enough, they never hang around for the opportunity for someone to say, I'm sorry. They just don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. And it may take someone other than a preacher or someone else to take an approach to encourage them. Let me have the opportunity to change that bad taste in your mouth. I am so glad that I ran into him. I can share several more stories about the third time that we met in the same day where God has honored my request. Be an obedient Christian. I wonder how many people today went home that are sitting at home by the door waiting for the bell to ring for someone to say trick or treat that might would be here tonight if you'd have just invited them. If you'd have just loved on them a little bit. Just given a word of encouragement or recognize that you care about them. There's probably somebody in your life right now at work, in your community, down at Kroger's, Walmart, wherever you go, that we are in there so often we begin to know people and meet people. And it's not because I'm a preacher. It's just who I am. I did this before God ever called me to the ministry. I like to talk. I talk to people. And I get to know names, and I try to remember names and call them by name when I see them again. And it's surprising to me how friendly people are in East Tennessee. It's so good in some aspects to be back in East Tennessee. People are friendly. And I'll begin to call people by their first name and ask them where they go to church and what's going on in their service this weekend. What are you doing this Wednesday night? And so many of them say they go to church. But many of them, that's where they went a year ago. So for me, it's not always enough to say, well, I go to Bible Baptist Church. I go to Onsbach Baptist Church. I'll often ask them, how was services last week? What was one of your favorite services this month? To find out if it's just a line to say, I go to church, or if they're really involved in their church. People are hurting. And if we're not obedient and we're not faithful, how could God use us to make a difference in the life of someone else? There's been so many people saved because you prayed and because you gave that trusted Christ in a little community called Kotterbach. We went from 10,200 troops down to 2,800 in 8 months. But even during that time, we had visitors come through on a regular basis. We had opportunity. And because of your giving, your praying, I can tell you, just in our ministry, hundreds have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And going on, continuing serving and living for the Lord. Let's be obedient. And let's realize that Satan would like nothing more than to discourage us. Let me move on. I've got just a few more minutes. Not only the doubter, the disobedient, we also see the dedicated. See, Satan doesn't show much favoritism. He don't care if you're faithful, whether you're unfaithful, whether you're a doubter, whether you're a believer, or whether you're just not sure what you are. His desire is to get after you. If I remember correctly, I believe it's the book of Luke, Jesus even talked to Peter and tells him, I prayed for you. Satan has desire to sift you. And dear friends, we need to realize that Satan's just not after to give us a rough day. If he can, his desire would be to ruin us, to ruin our testimony so badly that we could never be used of the Lord. Job chapter 2, verse 2, we cause us to think that. Job 2 and verse 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou, movest me against him to destroy him without cause. See, when Satan got to Job's house, he found some unique things that would be good for us as believers to have. He found a hedge that he could not penetrate. He found a heart that he could not provoke. And a harvest he could not prevent. How do we begin our day? Do we circle the wagons at home? Do we have time together with prayer? Moms and dads, do you pray with your kids before they go to school and remind them that you're maybe entering Satan's playground? Especially if you're going to public school system. And pray for them, encourage them to be at their best. Tell them to be on guard and be aware and ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to be nice, to be kind, to witness, to be an encouragement to someone else. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, have overcometh, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I have no doubt in my ministry through the years that Sunday morning was the hardest and Monday was the next. It seems like if anything can and will go wrong, it was on Sunday morning. I talked to my children, I talked to my wife, I talked to some of our closest families in the church, and I always encourage them, do your best, guard your pastor on Sunday morning. He doesn't need to hear the bad news until the services are over. He doesn't need to hear this or that. Guard him, pray for him, encourage him. If you can take care of it, take care of it. But we need to pray for the man of God before he stands to preach. We need to pray for him, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And as believers, as those that are dedicated, we need to be dedicated also to make sure that we're not only praying for our family, but even praying for those that we do not know who will come in. Many of us prayed for our children before they were born. Many of us prayed for our future son and daughters-in-law before we ever met them because we wanted our children to have a life and a marriage and a relationship with the Lord that would be used of God and serve him. We began praying for them before their birth and even before their marriage. Does it not even make sense we're to pray for those that want to walk through those back doors for the first time before we ever meet them? Saying, God, prepare their hearts, prepare their minds, prepare my church family that we will be sensitive to recognize and to know when someone is hurting, when someone needs the gospel, someone needs to be lovingly embraced or asked, can I pray with you? If you want to go to the altar, could I go with you and pray with you? See, a time coming to church, it's more than just the singing and the worship and the preaching of the word, but it all builds up as we glorify the Lord, that God would work in the hearts of those who know the Lord to get right, to continue on, to be grateful, but those who are discouraged, those who are hurting, those who do not know the Lord, that they might find comfort at a place here and in the Word of God to see their need for Christ or see how they can come back to the Lord. Believe it or not, we live in a land, in a country, though we're part of the Bible Belt, there are still people out here that need to be saved. In fact, there really are some that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I can say that because I've seen it. Remember Amanda that came to the church? Remember how mad she was? She was in church all of her life and no one told her she was going to hell? And I asked her, well, Amanda, who told you you were going to hell? Well, according to your preaching in the Bible, that's where I'm going. And I don't want to leave here tonight without changing that. They're there. We can't look at them and tell. Just because they go to church doesn't mean they know the Lord. They may know of Him, but there's no relationship. And some of those might be our coworkers. They might be those that we see on a regular basis at the grocery store. Someone in our community, our next door neighbor. You might be able to raise your hand and say that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved on my way to heaven. But do you know that you know that you know that your neighbor is? That your coworker is? That your best friend? That your family member? Satan has desire to sift you, as the Lord told Christ. What's on the devil's menu? You are. I am. Preacher is. Your neighbor, your community. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to be doubters? We're going to be disobedient Christians? Are we going to be dedicated Christians? Even though we're dedicated, knowing that Satan's going to try to ruin our day, we're going to continue serving him. We're just going to be on guard, and we're going to build our army. We're going to build the army of God. We're going to continue to reach people and to make a difference. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. My time is about gone this morning. But I wonder this morning if God has spoken to your heart. Maybe there's someone here tonight that maybe has had a little bit of doubt about their salvation. They don't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to seek you out. But right now, to the best of my knowledge, just a man preacher is looking. Maybe you hear it tonight and you just simply raise your hand up and down and say, preacher, I've been in church. I know the language, but if I'm honest, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like for you to pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? There may be some here, and I don't need to know. Just a generic question. You simply say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. God spoke to my heart. I'm going to lift my hand and just simply say, praise the Lord that His Word still speaks to me, and God has worked in my heart, and I need to make some decisions. Pray for me. Yes. If God has spoken to your heart, why not do business with Him right now? Maybe God has brought someone to your heart and your mind who maybe needs to know the Lord, or maybe that is hurt or bitter, that you can pray for and say, God, help me to reach them this week. Help me to comfort them. Help me to share Christ. Father, you know the needs. You know the circumstances, the life of your people. We ask you to work and to have your will in the way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As the pianist plays, if God has spoken to your heart, why not respond? Are you a doubter? Are you obedient? Are you disobedient? What three words are those three words would you use to describe your life as a Christian? A doubter? A believer? Someone who's dedicated? Or disobedient? It doesn't take but a minute to change that. Lord, I need to do better. Forgive me my shortcomings. Lord, help me to walk with you daily. Help me to be obedient, Lord Jesus. Leave here tonight striving to do that one day at a time.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll have Brother Gary sing one verse here in just a moment. This is one of those messages that it's easy to think about somebody else that you're concerned about. And I think that's appropriate, that the devil's after them. But folks, this is a good reminder tonight that he's after us. He's after you. And the way he gets those that you love, a lot of times, is he goes for you first. Children, grandchildren. Somebody ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing, and if God's speaking to you, I want you to respond. Even if you don't come forward, just right there in your seat, be praying for the Lord to protect you from the onslaught of the devil. Would you do that? As he sings, you do that, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
be seated. Thank you for the message tonight. That was outstanding. Praise the Lord for it. If you'll take out your prayer sheet, I want to give you some special prayer requests.